There are no words. No words adequate. Speak of the amount of our loss. Let us just all pray. Let's pray together. Pray for Kathy and the children. Pray for his family. Pray for his friends. Just all pray to God. Heavenly Father, please help us. Today we desperately need you. We've had such a loss. We just didn't only lose a family member, but we've lost a friend. We've lost a part of us. We know that he's safe with you. We pray, oh God, that you would comfort us, that you would help us, that you would strengthen us. Oh God, be close to us. Help us. Give us peace. Calvin, you're going to come up and sing.
Through many dangers. there's toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Amazing grace has sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Joe was very proud of his children, all of them. He loved all his children deeply. And in a few minutes, we're going to hear a poem by him. Joe was born November 4th, 1974, in River Falls, Wisconsin. Sid and Ruth. He leaves a loving wife, Kathy, children, 7 children, Jasmine, 11, Lexus, 8, Caitlin, 6, Bowden, 4, Kobe, 2, Trevor and Haley, 14 and 16. Lot of people. Leaves his mom and his dad, stepmom and stepdad, Sid and Ruth and Rose, sister Tammy, Magnuson and their children, grandparents Herbert and Irene Minder, Gordon and Irene Anderson, parents-in-law Calvin and Bev Burton, brother-in-laws, Kendall and Brad Burton, sister-in-law, Brittany, and then Josh Mannon, stepbrothers, stepsisters, Jenny, Bernie, Becky, Heather, Daniel, Sarah, Aaron, Elizabeth, many extended family members and dear friends. It was preceded in death. Church. Sydney Daniel Anderson. loved his children. Haley, would you come and read the poem for us? I'm going to have an open mic. If any of you would like to say anything, I can walk down there with my mic here. Or you can come up here. I'm sure there's some here that would like to say something. Haley.
My dad, he was a strong and wonderful person. I wish I got to know him more than I did. My dad, I know he loved me very much too. And I loved him too. My dad taught me how to wrestle and we had lots of fun together. Someday when I have kids of my own, I want them to know how amazingly awesome their grandpa was. For now, in memory of my dad, I have my big brother Trevor, who I love very much, even though we have our fights. And I also have... my younger brothers and sister, Jasmine, Alexis, Caitlin, Bowden, and Kobe, who I love very much. When I see them, I want to be there holding them forever, telling them that everything is going to be okay. I know it's going to be hard, but we have to keep going. I know my dad is watching and listening to us, so I just want him to know that I loved him very much and always will.
Other people that we could have speak would like to say something. You don't have to come up if you don't feel like it.
Joel was a lot more than a friend. He was more of a brother than a friend, best friend. He was one of a kind. He could take the least of anything and make the best of it. He was always mentioning stuff about Kathy and the kids, always worrying about him, working on the road down in St. Louis, Missouri, and any fishing trips, anything we ever took. He was always worried about what he left behind. I know he won't forget anybody.
And Joel's always remember Joel's guy that he'd say, boy, at times I just couldn't, I was so hopeless, and he'd say, if there's anything you need, I'll always, you know, I'll be there for you. And he was that kind of guy that was that way with everybody. And I remember some of the last words he said to me. He said, I'll be praying for you if there's anything you need. And he's such a great friend, and I'm going to miss him. I'm sure we all will.
My dad was always making jokes and always making friends with people. He could never leave anybody behind sad. If he saw somebody sitting down, looking down, he'd go over and talk to him and make him happy. He cared about everybody. Everybody sitting in this room, he knows how much you guys care about him, and he cares about you too.
We'll have a few more. I want to read just a letter that Joel wrote to Kathy. Hi. I really miss your smile and your pretty eyes looking at me. I hope that you're reading your Bible tonight. John chapter 3, I'm on John chapter 8. I've read it for a few nights in a row. I hope that I keep it up because as all we know, God is real. And so are heaven and hell. Myself, I want to be in heaven. And I hope you do too. That's the most important thing on earth today. The day was great. We got to spend a lot of time together. I think you're a very special person. And I truly do love you. I can't say it enough, so I'll just show you. If you haven't noticed, little things do get me down. But you make me smile, and you keep me moving on. You really help me a lot by always cheering me up. I guess that's one reason I love you. Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to go read my Bible and go to sleep. Nice, huh? Love you lots. Joe. P.S. Keep our promise. Just the scripture, you know, the scripture says, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say the Lord is your helper. Jesus didn't leave Joe. Jesus hasn't left us. He loves us. He longs to hold us in his arms. He longs to hold us to his chest. Take us close. Wipe the tears from our eyes. That's the Jesus that I know. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope, even though we're sorrowful, because we know that he went to be with his heavenly Father. He went to be with Jesus. We know that he's fine. Fearless Joe. He didn't seem afraid of anything. And you guys know what I'm talking about, and that's maybe what I'd like if a few people can tell some stories about his fearlessness. That he was not afraid of anything. Some other people come up now. You come up.
I don't really have a story about, you know, his fearlessness, but I remember from the time I was real little, and who I know who Joe was, I always looked up to him, and I always wanted to be just like him. And then he's always my hero, you know. And then I joined the Army, and I came back home from Iraq, and first place I came back to was to Wisconsin, you know, and I stayed with Joe and the family. And anywhere we went, he always introduced me as a hero, that I was a war hero and I had accomplished so many things and that he was proud of me. And to me, you know, coming from my hero saying that he was proud of me was the biggest compliment that I could have ever had, you know. But, you know, he's always a true hero, you know. Somebody who could build a home for his family with his own hands and always provide for them and always love and care about them the way he did. That's the kind of hero that I want to be.
The reason I called you out is because Joe was a bragger. He was always bragging about you. He was so proud of you. I just, you know, it meant a lot to hear the stories he would tell about you, even though I hadn't met you. Kenny, come on.
I've heard a lot about how, like, I was always the guy that he could call up if he needed some help around the house or some help at work, but, you know, a big part of it was, that was what he'd do for me, too, you know, because If I mean, like my dad was talking about putting a wood stove in, and Joe says, well, we can cut a hole through the roof like this, and we'll do this so your house doesn't burn down, and we'll get a wood stove in your house there. So, but yeah, he was always ready to help out . Oh, and first day of work, I remember, I work with Sid and Joe and them, and anyways, I was doing something on the floor, and I hear Joe sneeze, and I feel something hit the back of my neck, and I just sit there, keep working, and Joe goes, hey, Kenny, did I get you there? And I said, well, yeah, and he says, oh, I'm sorry. And then about 20 minutes later, he says, well, I was just messing with you. I dipped my hand in some water, and I flicked it at the back of your neck when I sneezed, so you're just messing with me, but yeah, that's Joe for you.
Doing things like that. He was a comedian. Anyone else want to come forward? Let me give you a chance. Lisa's going to sing us a song now.
Heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he loves. How many times has that broken that promise? It has never been done. I never climbed the highest mountain, but I walked the hill of Calvary just to be with you. I'd do anything. There is no price I would not pay, no, just to be with you. I'd give everything. Give my life away. Yeah, yeah. I've heard it said that a man would swim the ocean just to be with the one he loves. But all those dreams are an empty emotion. It has never been done. I never swam the deepest ocean, but I walked upon the raging sea. Just to be with you, I'd give anything. There's pride, price that I would not pay. To be with you, I'd give anything. I would give my life away. Yeah. Know that you don't understand the fullness of my love. How I died upon the cross for your sin. And I know that you don't realize how much that I give you, but I promise I would do it all again. Just to be with you, I'd do anything. There is no price I did not pay. Just to be with you, I'd do anything. I'd give my life away.
Hebrews chapter 12 says, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Joe was always running. Just a couple weeks ago, he wanted a mini bike for his kids. He sold his shotgun to buy it. Once he decided he wanted that mini bike, he got that mini bike. In a matter of, right away, he had that mini bike over to our place and the kids were riding it. They knew how to ride good, even the little ones. I was kind of wide-eyed. They're riding double. They'd fall down. Joe took off running. He took off running. Picked the kid up, brushed the kid off, put him back on. He's fine, and he was fine. It was in the grass. But he took off running like a good dad to save his child. Joel spent the summer with me, Kathy, and the kids. A lot of it. Eddie, I know. Did a lot for me. He knew I didn't feel real good, and he came over and did what he could. We'd go mushroom picking together. I showed Joe how to pick morels. He tried to show me how to pick ginseng. He was a lot better at picking morels. We went just the other day to pick ginseng. I gave up. This one isn't working, this mic here. I just followed him around. Kathy, she was off. She got it right away. I just followed him around. But one day a year and a half ago, Joe and I, Christopher, my son, went to get some mushrooms. We knew it was going to storm. We didn't care. We wasn't afraid of the storm. Joe wasn't afraid of anything. I wasn't afraid of the storm. Christopher, he didn't care. We was 3 miles from home with no vehicle. And we was picking in the dense woods over big hills, almost like small mountains, really. There's springs there. It's a beautiful paradise nobody ever goes to but us, basically. And the storm blew in. And the hail started to come down. You guys all remember those tornadoes? We took off running. See, you get to follow a theme here. Let us lay aside the things that so easily beset us and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We took off running, Joe, Christopher, and me. I was laughing. They couldn't see me laughing. They're back hollering. The hail's just hitting them. That hail was big. It wasn't softball size. It was golf ball size hail. We were running under the trees, through the woods, jumping. We'd stop quickly and then take off again over the hills. And I'm in front of them. I'm outrunning both of them, laughing, not afraid of the storm. Ryan, it'd be a good time for you to play that song. There's a song I want you to hear.
Thank you. for sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
Thing about Joe, a lot of us are going to remember is how much he loved to play cards and board games and stuff like that when we all got together. I think, you know, Kelly and Nora and Janelle and a bunch of them could come up and probably tell a lot of stories. And Joe was always laughing, and some of us would get hot-headed and don't like to lose, and he'd always keep it in a light mood, and he's always telling the joke and keeping everybody happy. Joe was an adventurous, reckless adventurous. He was a great one to have along when we go on our snowmobile trips. A few years back, going and Kathy and him got these souped up snowmobiles, and I've got one that goes putt, 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 please wait up for me. You never knew who anybody was with all the gear that we had on, if a guy was a girl or a girl was a guy. But you always knew who was the reckless one out front that was going and moving and doing things that I could never dream of doing, jumping over hills and going up the sides of ditches and stuff. He was always good to have on those trips because Joe could fix anything on a whim, and we did break down a lot on our trips. Georgina always seemed to have a camera with her, so up by Grantsburg, Georgina's snowmobile breaks down, and Joe is so hot out there on the trail working and sweating up a storm, and the rest of us are freezing, and he's stripping down clothes, and they're dumping out all these bags of tools that they have, and here's Joe working on snowmobiles and getting them going again so we could get back on our trip. Last year I missed a big trip that they had. I was ill, but Tracy, my brother, and Melinda, David and Joe, and maybe Trevor, going up north there. And it was kind of late, it was dark. I was wondering, where are they? Give them a call, they're coming back. They're already laughing on the phone so hysterically they can't even tell me the story over the phone. So they get back home, and Joe comes to drop David, my husband, off. And Joe is literally just rolling on the ground about the stories of the trip from that particular time. And again, you told, how do you tell who's who on a snowmobile, but by the snowmobile themselves. And Melinda's snowmobile had lost a ski or something, so she traded with Tracy, and she's got Tracy's, and she's already cold and freezing and want to be done with this trip already, and the snow is melting, and they're rolling on dirt trails, basically, and Joe and David and Trevor are up there waiting for them to come, and here comes Tracy's snowmobile just barreling open wide over railroad track, zoo, took air over the road and down the other side, and Joe's like, way to go, Tracy, that was awesome. And then she gets off and takes her helmet off, and it's Melinda. So he was just rolling, telling me that story when he got home. So he was a great one to have on snowmobile trips, and anytime you'd ask for him to go, he'd be there for you. So.
Joe had came over just before he entered into eternity, and he said, I've got to get a deer. Oh, you're going hunting? I said, yeah. I'm going to feed my family. That was another part of Joe. He didn't think it was no big deal. Next thing I hear, he got a deer. I said, well, what are you going to hunt for? Doe or buck? I didn't care. But he didn't think that I wanted him to get a buck up there. It was in our stand. I didn't care. He got a buck. That was Joe, right to the heart. Anyway. Sid, Joe's dad, was telling me last night that Joe would run to him when he would see him. And he'd throw his arms around him and he'd hug him. Just give him a big bear hug. You get my point? Let us lay aside the sin. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run. He'd run to his dad. I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus. Jesus healed thousands of people. He raised some up from the dead, and he turned many hearts to his Father. His life had looked like a failure in the eyes of the world. Jesus said, when I come, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? What seemed like the greatest tragedy, the Almighty Son of God dying on a cross, became the greatest victory. The one who appeared to be conquered became the conqueror. You get the idea? Many of you have suffered loss. We're suffering a terrible loss.
Jesus' friends seemed to suffer a terrible loss. But see, his shame was turned into glory. His hopelessness was turned into hope. The emptiness was turned into an empty grave. Jesus prays with his disciples. He says that he's going to go away. But he said, if I go away, he said, I will come again. I'm not going to leave you alone. It might seem like you're alone, but I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. You might feel alone. Kathy will feel so alone. Maybe the children. But Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you empty. They came against Jesus, the healer, the lover of their souls, the one who was going to die to free them from death, from the enemy. Remember, there was a war in heaven, and a third of the angels were cast out. This war continued when they came against Jesus with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They came against the light of the world with a lantern. They came against the fire of all creation, Jesus Christ, who would light a fire that would never end through all eternity when he gave his life for us, with a torch. They came against him with weapons. The sky turned dark. The earth shook. Some of the dead woke and went about proclaiming Jesus. Michael and Gabriel, the rest of the 10,000 of angels, they were ready. They were ready to go. There's tens of thousands of angels, the scripture says, that could have destroyed the world and set Jesus free, but he chose instead not to do it and to die for us. They were in their ranks. They had their weapons pulled. Just boom. One more war. They had the war in heaven before they were cast out. They had done it again. There had been enough death. You see, whatever you think about death, death is an enemy. It's an enemy to be destroyed. It kills young moms with children. It kills young dads with children. But it says it's the last enemy. And God will destroy it. And it says he'll wipe all tears from our eyes. That's what God will do. He don't only save our tears in a bottle, but he's going to wipe them from our eyes. He sees your tears. You know, his friend Lazarus, he was dead. He was in the grave. Mary and Martha had called for Jesus to come and said, if only he had been here, Lazarus could have saved him. One sister went out to meet him and says, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus says to her, do you believe? Do you believe in the resurrection? Yea, Lord, she says, I believe. Jesus went up, went to that tomb, and he sat there and he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, yet maybe the most powerful. He sat there and he cried. And he tried to explain. I've heard preachers try to explain, why did Jesus cry? Why did he weep? And it was this and it was that. It's enough for me that Jesus wept. He sat there and he wept. His friend was in the tomb and he wept. The loss of his friend, but not for long. You see, Jesus said, him that liveth and believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Though he be dead, yet shall he live. And him that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I don't mean to get so excited. But you see, if you live and believe in Jesus Christ, you'll never die. Your body will die, but you'll not die. Your spirit will live on. If you know Jesus, your spirit will go to eternity with him. He went to that tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus went to the cross. They were even going to kill Lazarus again. The righteous people, supposedly the Pharisees, the religious people, they were going to kill him again. Let's get Lazarus and let's get Jesus. They came against him and he spoke and they fell backwards. And the angels were still ready to go. And they're pleading, I can see them, pleading with the Father. Father, let us go. Let us save him. The Father said, no. You see, Joe had many scrapes. That's why I wanted some of the stories. I mean, Joe, some of his daring stories. He was hurt many times. The angels that protected Joe had their work cut out for him. I don't know where they were the other night, but they had a job cut out for them. And I imagine the angels pleading with the Father, Father, why does it have to be? Why does he have to come home now? He's got the children. He's got friends and family. And he's got this life. And it had to be. Anyway, why did Jesus have to die? The sky turned dark. The other day, we saw a beautiful rainbow. I bet you all, you've seen it. Did you see the rainbow? It went from horizon to horizon. It was over our house. It was over Joe's house. It was over Menominee. It was a storm, a dark storm. But at the end of the storm, there was the rainbow, the promise of God that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Saturday morning, I woke up. I looked to the southwest. And in a vision, I saw a vision. I saw a big cylinder circle. Maybe a half a mile away of golden light going from the sky to the ground like an elevator. You know what I'm talking about? Like an elevator that would take people up. Anyway, I know, Kathy, didn't you have a vision too? I believe he's in heaven too. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It says when we die that we give up the ghost. I believe he went just like that to be with Jesus. See, Jesus is alive. He conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And because he lives, he said, because I live, you shall live also. Him that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. He's coming in the twinkling of an eye. Get ready. All that are in the grave shall see him. They shall awake. When he cries to the body, come forth. We'll meet our Lord Adonai in the air. God's hand, the scripture says, is not shortened. Do you think because Joe died that the hand of God is shortened? Do you think because you've lost someone that you cared about, God's hand is not shortened? Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Joe had big dreams. He was just going to start college. He was so excited about it. They signed up at my place. He loved his life. He loved his wife. He loved his children. You know, there's another story I would think about Joe. It has to do with David and Goliath. And you know, when David was faced with the giant, you know what he did with the giant? You know what he did? He got those five smooth stones and he went out to meet him. He took off running to meet that giant. Joe would run to meet the giants that he had to meet. If you were his friend, you were his family, he was going to back you up. He was going to stand up for you. He's the guy you'd want watching over you. He had jumped over the fence when we were out in the woods one day, twisted his ankle. His ankle was swelled up like this. I'm walking over the big hills. Joe, he's going. He was concerned about me. He wasn't concerned about his ankle. He just walked right on, didn't he? Just right on with that ankle. You know, sometimes you can feel surrounded. But let me tell you, Elijah was surrounded by a great army. His servants were afraid. His servant, he was afraid. And he asked Elijah, he said, "What are we going to do, Elijah? We're surrounded by an army." And you know what Elijah said? He said, "Oh God, open his eyes so that he could see." And you know what he seen? The servant. He said, "What are we going to do?" And the servants opened his eyes and he saw chariots and horses and fire surrounding them against this army that had came to arrest them. You see, you may not see the horses and the chariots and the fire of God that is around you, surrounding you, protecting you, helping you, but it's there. I was thinking about Abraham, how he ran to meet the Son of God to feed him. Joe, he'd run after deer. He'd run after fishing. He'd run to protect his family. He'd run to help someone. In a matter of minutes, he'd be there. He'd run to hug his dad. He'd run in a storm just to get out of it. Oh, and by the way, when we got back, he had a big bump on his head from that hail. He was all beat up from the hail. He took off his shirt, had red spots all over. I didn't have one. I don't know what happened. Christopher was beat up too. I'll praise him in the storm. So I had that song. I would have thought by now, God, you would have came down and wiped our tears away. For the Lord that giveth and the Lord who taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what? I think heaven ran to Joel. Kevin opened up and received Joel. I don't know who met him. Maybe his little brother who would be all growing up by now. I don't know who ran to meet him. Maybe my dad, he'd brag about how he loved my dad. Second Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. We know that if this earthly tabernacle is destroyed, we have a home in heaven, not made with hands. John says, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." 1 Peter 5, 7. Mom wanted me to read a few scriptures. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Revelation 3, 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door." If he's standing at the door, don't you think that he's standing to meet? A Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Psalm 15, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I just thought it'd be kind of neat just to, as, you know, I was thinking actually about Jesus, you know, and how when he rode into Jerusalem after his whole life, see, and he told them, they told the people that were praising him to be quiet. And he said, you know what? If they don't praise me, he said, I'm going to make the rocks cry out. The rocks will even cry out. What would have seemed like a failure? No one had praised him. The scripture had to be fulfilled. Even the rocks would cry out. You see, once again, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those witnesses are witnesses in heaven. They're witnesses on earth. They're angels. They're people watching us. They're people that see. They're people in the stands that are cheering us on. And I just want you to stand with me. I just want to give a hand to Joel. Can anybody whistle? Can we hear some whistles? Some more whistles? One more hand now, one more time, for the most important person in our lives, and that's our Savior. Just one more time. Come on, I need some whistles. A little louder. A little louder for him. The one that defeated death, hell, and the grave. Just sit down again for another minute. I'm just going to give anyone else a chance, because sometimes there might be people that might have wished they would have said something.
Last night I was up till about 6 in the morning trying to think of something. I had 20, 30 pages written down. I kept looking at them. I couldn't figure out what I was going to say, what was good enough to cover what his life represented in our family. With friends. And I look at all the pages and I start putting it together. They all said the same thing. I love you, Joel. And that's what everything said, is I love you, you love me, and that's where it was.
Anyone else? Last chance. Say something else.
This was when we were built in the middle of building in our old house, or building our new house. And my mom had just, she was pregnant with Kobe. And we were at the house and dad didn't get home for a long time until like 2 in the morning. And he was just up there doing the basement, and he was working on the house. And he stayed up there till midnight sometimes. And he would always go up there until he got it done. And that's, and he did it for us, and he was always making sure that we were happy.
Time we'd go over to his house, he'd meet us at the door, he'd come out and have the biggest smile on his face. I'd never seen him not smiling ever. And me and Charles went over to his house the other day to sight in a new rifle Charles bought, and Joe had to show off. He was the best shot ever. He was shooting a little
I don't know, it was no bigger than a quarter, you know, 100 yards away, just shooting it 50 times. And he was out there running around, and he always wanted to make sure that we were happy. When he was with us, we were always happy. And he cared a lot about us, and we loved him more than anything, too.
I know you guys might feel it's getting kind of long, but you can come up. But you know, eternity is a long time. If it's getting too long, you can feel comfortable here to walk out, you know, or, you know.
Joe might have been fearless, but he had a tender heart. Never go anywhere, he'd look out for me. Say, that's my brother. You know, mess with him, mess with me, he's always looking out for me. Words can never take away the pain. I just want this guy to know that he's in a better place now.
Feel free to come with me.
I just want to say a short word.
Thank you. Say as long as you want. Don't say it short.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say, it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. He is risen.
Well, he was quite a son. Joe was a handful from day one. The first time he was able to put his shoes on, couldn't quite get them on, but he was fighting them, and he wasn't very old enough to do it. And he said, "These shoes are tremendous." He got his motorcycle, and he started going over a little jump, like Bowden was doing. A little higher, a little higher. Pretty soon, all one day, he was had my ramp that I used for load up my text spray into my back into my van, and that wasn't high enough, so he went higher and higher. Pretty soon, he was going 100 feet, 200 feet, and I just, oh, Joe. He never got hurt, but he wasn't afraid. He was never afraid of anything. He was always there for you, and all the way up through all the. He always flew under the radar just a little bit. I don't know. He, the stuff he's done, he should have been in, locked up probably. I don't know. But he was a handful all the way through. And then he got this crotch rocket. And you know, Joe always had respect for me. He never mouthed off to me once, ever. He never sassed me. He had a lot of respect for me. Even though he could have. He had three times the strength I did. I said something, and he always respected it. He didn't challenge anything I ever said. And he got that crotch rocket one day, and it was, he got pretty good on it. Pretty soon he was, I know Dennis Hills is here somewhere, but he was out trying to outrun the cops with it. And he did. He got good at it. And I said, "Joe, if you don't get rid of that thing, you ain't going to last long." I said, that thing will do you in. He put it up for sale, putting it right away after that. You know, he took my advice. You know, how many kids would do that? I was proud of Joe. He listened to me. He always gave me a big hug and said, "I love you, Dad." And those of you that got kids and husbands and wives and moms and dads, grandparents, hug them. Tell them you love them. Don't forget to hug your wife or your husband, your kids, mom and dad. Tell them you love them. You're not going to always have them. You're not always going to have them, but tell them you love them. And I'm going to miss Joe. He was not only a son, but a great friend, good friend. I always heard that if you have one or two good friends in life, you're lucky. Well, I thank every one of you that came here today. Joe had hundreds, maybe thousands of friends. Good friends. He was a blessed man. He had a quiver full of kids, and God bless him. He always told me how happy he was with his wife and kids and how they came first and spent a lot of time with them. I couldn't believe how much time. I was shocked to see them pictures, how much time he spent with Joe. He could live on less money than anybody I know. He won't worry about that. I'm going fishing. I'm taking my family boating.
I don't think words can even describe him. There's so many stories. I would just love to talk about them all day long. But one thing, I got on Facebook. I just started Facebook. And every time I'd open the computer, he'd say, "Are you going to play Facebook? Or are you going to spend time with me?" It didn't matter what we were doing. He always wanted me with him. If he was going to work, he'd say, "Get the kids their work clothes on. Let's go." So we'd always go with him to paint and hunting. He took me out hunting. We've already been out 10 times this year. Every evening he'd take me out and we'd go bow hunting and ginseng hunting. And I'd pray, "Don't ask me today. I got laundry to do. Don't ask me. Don't ask me." He'd say, "Honey, would you go hunting? Let's go." And I'm like, "All right, let's go, Joe." He never wanted to be home. He just wanted to be out doing something. Oh, there's this.
Yeah, hunting. He said, "I want to go out hunting tonight. I don't know if I should go ginseng hunting, deer hunting, or what was it?"
I don't know. He was always hunting something.
Huh? Yeah. So we're gonna miss Joe, and we just, yeah. I just really thank all you people for being here.
Thank you very much.
You're all, every one of you are so special.
I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know that I'm proud to be Joel's father-in-law, and he was a special person to me in my life, and I appreciate what he did for my daughter, for happy he made her, and for their my grandchildren now that it'll be a great remembrance of him, and was just part of the family all the time. Everything anybody did, he was always involved with. And sometimes those fearless acts came with rebukes. I didn't see him for a few months, but anyway, he was a, he was a wonderful person and had wonderful characteristics about him. And I liked what Daniel said there too, but he had another side too, also being fearless. He had a deep conscience, and I'd talk to him sometimes. He says, you know, it may not seem like it, but I weigh what you say, and I consider it afterwards also, you know, and that, and I know Jasmine's saying a few things that he just mentioned recently, and it's precious, special little children that he has, five little children plus the other two, and he's had a wonderful family. And I just want to say thanks to everybody for coming and for what you meant for Joe and in his life. He was always the life of the party. It was never a dull moment when he was there. Some, you know, it was never quiet after Joe showed up. There was always something to do. And he was full of life. Thanks again for coming. Taken a while, but see, we don't want to say goodbye, you know. I would be remiss if I didn't finish my message with this. Okay, Joel ran to his dad, ran to his kids, ran to his friends, ran to help, ran to fish, ran to hunt, finally ran to heaven, and the angels ran to meet him. I would invite you to run to Jesus right now. I would invite you to rededicate your life to the Almighty Savior who's going to raise you from the dead someday. Give your life to Him. You can't go wrong with Jesus. Anyone else want to say anything? Sing? You say you love them?
I'm Justin. I'm Kathy's cousin and everyone's cousin pretty much. I can remember right as soon as we got back from Bible camp the 1 year. I went over to Joe and Kathy's house, and I didn't know really who they were. I knew Kathy, but I didn't really know Joe. And, well, as soon as I got there, I was missing my mom and everything, and I was scared. I didn't know what to do, and I wanted to go home. Joe could see that I was scared and everything, and he knew I wanted to go home. And he came up to me, and he's like, "It's okay." And so then we were playing darts and everything. And then my mom got there, and I didn't want to go home because Joe made me feel so much better. He made me feel like I was like his little brother and everything, and I didn't want to go. And so after we left, I was just like, "Mom, I want to go back." I was like, "I didn't want to go." And Joe taught me how to play darts. He taught me pretty much a lot of stuff when I was little, and I'm gonna miss them.
Ryan, will you play that second song and we will conclude? Pastor, would you come up? Thank you.
omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord. Victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. And I wondered then, things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me. And down a dusty road ahead I could see, it was the only time, it was the only time I ever saw him run. And then he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise and he brought me to my knees. So ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's gone." Tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. I felt his love for me again. He ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest. He said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son."
This is our pastor, even if a lot of us don't go here to church, but this is our pastor, Pastor Manning. I say one more thing, 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Never fail.
We love Joe too, and
proud to be able to say that he's our boy and that he grew up in this church. And as I listened to everybody today, I thought of one thing that everybody had to say that was in common. It's so much like Jesus, too. When Jesus was with a multitude of people, he saw not just the multitude, not just the crowd, but he saw each individual. And I think Joel was like that. He could be in a crowd of people, but he was aware of each individual person that was there. And he knew if there that one person was struggling, and he knew just the thing to do to make that person comfortable. He's a lot like our Savior in that respect. And I don't know anything I could say other than to tell you the only thing I know how to do, and that is to point you to God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he is the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercy. There is no true comfort apart from God. He is the God of all comfort. And he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's hard to say goodbye, but we're not really saying goodbye. We're saying so long. We're saying, we'll see Joe again in the morning, the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we shall all be gathered together in the Lord's heaven. I've been asked to share with you that there's a lunch that has been provided, and it's straight down the long hallway here to our multi-purpose room. We're going to fellowship around the tables and then go to the cemetery in Royal Roberts. I would just ask that you be considerate and let the family go first. Let them be served first, and then you can file in behind them. Let's pray over the fellowship time together. Father, we are just so grateful for you. As the scripture says, that underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Lord, you are the one that holds us up. And when it feels like we cannot stand under the pressure, the burden, the weight anymore, Lord, underneath are your everlasting arms. I pray, Lord, that you would be to Joe's family what they need you to be in the days and months and even years to come. That you would be the God of all grace, the Father of all mercy. That you would give them the comfort that they need. That you would give them the peace that is, we can't explain, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, that you would draw them to yourself because you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, that you would be the Comforter to them because that is your name, Comforter. Lord, that you would be all that they need, that they would find their strength, their comfort, their peace, their joy, and everything in you. We ask for your continued fellowship with us as we fellowship around these tables. Lord, bless the food that has been prepared. And I pray that each one of us would be a means of comfort to the family today, whether it's something we say or just our presence, or that you would use us somehow today just to be a comfort and a source of strength to them. We pray this in Jesus' name.